I want to attempt to preach on the joy of the gospel. And indeed, the gospel is joyful. In thy presence, the psalmist said, is fullness of joy. And I fear trying to manufacture joy. I don't want to do that. I want to have joy in response to the gospel, not me feeling like I need to produce something, but just hear the truth and enter into the joy of salvation. And it's also possible for a believer to lose the joy of salvation, because David said in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And so I pray that God will use this to give us this joy in Him. And if we've lost the joy of our salvation, that the Lord would restore it unto us. In verse 50, "And He led them out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them." Now I want you to think of His power to bless. He's all powerful. There's no lack of ability in Him to bless me and you in any way He sees fit to do it. He's sovereign. Whatever His will is, it takes place. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. And I want you to think of His power to bless. You know, I like to think about those infants that He laid His hands on them and blessed them. You've seen that. Wonder what those kids' lives were like after that. He blessed them. Oh, I understand exactly what Jacob meant when he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I must have His blessing. It's over for us if we don't have His blessing. But you think of His power to bless. He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. And then I love to think of them watching Him as He began to ascend up into heaven. They saw Him go up into the clouds. They saw His ascension power. And I have no doubt that they knew what this meant, because He was on the earth for 40 days instructing them in the things concerning the kingdom of God after His resurrection. He told them He was going to ascend. He told them why He was going to ascend. And He told them that they were all going to ascend with Him. He's the Lord of hosts ascending. What that must have been like. And the scripture says they worshiped Him. And anybody who sees the Lord with a spiritual sight will worship. Anybody. I don't care who it is. Anybody who knows who He is. I think it's interesting the way those men who were even demon-possessed, when they saw Him afar off, they were made to worship Him. Anybody who sees who He is, I don't care if it's a demon, they're going to be made to bow the knee. And they worshiped Him as they watched Him ascend back into the realms of glory. And then we read they returned to Jerusalem. He said, "Go back to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for what's going to happen." In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, He said, "Return back to Jerusalem and wait." And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. With great joy. And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now the gospel is a thing of joy. It is always a thing of joy. God is the joyous God. You know, He's a God full of joy, full of happiness, because of who He is. Turn with me to Proverbs 8 for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 8. This is about the joy of God before there was ever a creation. This is such a glorious passage of Scripture. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. as wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old, verse 23, Proverbs 8. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men, even then, before creation. The rejoicing there is between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. There's joy in thinking of that. And you know, when Christ went to the cross, the Scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Know the next line? Who for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising, counting as nothing, the shame. Who for the joy that was set before Him. He went to the cross for the joy that was set before Him. The pure joy He received in glorifying His Father and doing His will. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work. Oh, the joy of Jesus Christ's obedience to His Father. And the joy He received in saving us. When He went to the cross, the names of all of His elect were on His heart. My name. He was aware of me. He was aware of you. Every one of His people. What joy He received in going to the cross in order to save me from my sins. That's astounding, isn't it? The joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Entering heaven is described as entering the joy of thy Lord. Come thou blessed of my Father, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now listen to these scriptures. Zephaniah 3:17, He will rejoice over thee with joy. Now that is true of every believer. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. What? He's the one that's doing the singing over us. We read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is thy strength. Does it give you joy to think of His joy? He's the absolute joyous God. He doesn't have any worries. He's not pacing back and forth hoping His will is going to be done. He's an absolute, complete control joyfully. He is the joyous and the blessed God. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking of joy. And I was thinking of this verse. Verse 44, again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. Matthew 13:44. Again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, that which a man hath found, he hideth. He doesn't want to lose it. He hides it. And for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now, I thought, I'd like to see what somebody's got to say about this. I listened to a sermon. And the fellow, here's what he said. You need to sell every half thing you have, or you're going to hell. You got to give up all sin, or you won't be saved. And I thought, well, if there's ever any joy in that verse, that took it out. I mean, you know, just the way that guy interpreted that. That's not what that means. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. Oh, what a treasure the gospel is. What a treasure Jesus Christ is. What a treasure the forgiveness of sins is. What a treasure it is to be justified, to have His righteousness, to have no sin to feel guilty about. What a treasure His precious blood is that makes me clean before God. What a treasure His Spirit is that reveals the gospel to me. All promises of God. What a treasure the kingdom of heaven is. And it's hid in a field. It's hid in the field of His Word. It's there. Not many people see it. They look at the Bible. They look at it as a rule book. I need to keep these rules in order to earn God's favor. And they never see the treasure hid in the field. But one time this fella, he ran into it. He found it. I don't know if he's looking for it. Probably he wasn't. But he found it. And he thought, this is the greatest treasure I've ever seen. Somebody says, why did he hide it? He was afraid of losing it. This is so great. This is so glorious. And the Scripture says, for joy thereof. For joy thereof. Went and sold all he had. And what was that? Nothing. I love what Paul said. I count for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count it but dung. That's all I count it is having lost. That's not much of a loss. Now, for joy thereof, he sells all he has to have this glorious treasure. This treasure that is in earthen vessels. The treasure of faith. The treasure of repentance. Hid in the field of the Word. But notice, it was with joy that he sold everything that he had. Now, joy is different than happiness. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. Joy. If I go to the doctor for a wellness visit, and I don't think anything's wrong with me, and he says to me, good news, you don't have cancer. I'm happy. Good. I'm glad. Didn't think I did anyway. But if I come into the doctor and I've had fourth stage cancer of some kind and I'm dying, and he comes in and I have some kind of test run and he says, good news, you don't have cancer. Joy! I was happy that I don't have it, but oh, the joy. That's the way you hear the gospel. If you're a sinner, you hear the gospel with joy. If you're not a sinner, well, that's good if I ever need it. But if you're a sinner, you hear the gospel with joy. Now, like I said, joy is different from happiness because happiness is based upon happenings, circumstances. Well, I'm happily married. My wife's treating me good. I'm happily married. I am happily healthy. I'm not sick. Makes me happy. I'd a whole lot rather be healthy than sick. I am happy in my financial situation. I'm not under the gun financially. I can pay my bills. I can go on vacation. I'm happy. Makes me feel good. There's no present crisis going on in my home. I'm happy. And then sometimes people say, I'm unhappy. I'm not happily married. I'm not happy in my circumstances. I am unhappy. Things aren't the way I want them to be. I'm not happy. And whenever somebody says, I'm not happy, watch out. They're getting ready to do something to make themselves happy, regardless of what it costs anybody else. Now, I want you to remember this. Don't even think. I hope God will give us the grace to not even think about whether or not we're happy. You look to Christ, everything will be okay. You rest in Him, everything will be okay. I love what somebody said to Walter Gruver. Walter Gruver, he said, "Walter, are you happy?" He said, "What's that got to do with anything? I'm where the Lord would have me." And there's peace, there is joy in that. And listen to this. You can have absolutely no happiness and have fullness of joy. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." You can be sick. You can be miserable. You can have terrible crises going on in your home, in your family life. You can have all kinds of bad things happening to you, and you're not very happy. But if you know the Lord, you have joy. A true joy that comes from knowing that He's on the throne and that salvation's in His hand and that you're in His hand. And everything that happens, happens only because of Him. Joy has nothing to do with circumstances. I can have great sorrow in my circumstances and yet have great joy in the Lord. And Paul put it this way in Philippians 3:1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now, here's somewhere I can rejoice. In the Lord. I can rejoice that He is who He is. You know, right now, I rejoice in my heart that God does and that He's in control of everybody and everything that comes my way, He's in control of. I can rejoice in that. I might not enjoy it. It might not make me happy. But I can joy in it. Because our rejoicing is in the Lord. I can rejoice in His holiness. I can rejoice in His justice. I can rejoice in His power. I can rejoice in His goodness. He's always good. He's always kind. He's always great. I can rejoice in who He is. All of His attributes. I love to think about this. Every one of His attributes, and they're all manifest on the cross. That's the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. We rejoice in all of His attributes. He is the one, I said this recently, He is the only being. He's the only being who we wouldn't change Him if it was in our power. Everybody else, if you know them at all, there's things you change about them, including yourself. Somebody once said to me after I said that, said, "I wouldn't change anything about you." And I said, "You don't know me then. If you knew me, if you spent an hour around me, you'd find all kinds of things to change." But the one being who knows no change is the God of glory. We can always rejoice in who He is. We can always rejoice that our standing is in the Lord. I love that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:30. "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." I have all that in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm wise enough to have fellowship with God. God desires fellowship with me through Christ. I have perfect righteousness so He can embrace me and hug me tight. I have sanctification. I have holiness. I have full redemption, full payment for my sins. Who's not going to rejoice in that? I rejoice in who He is. I rejoice in salvation being in Him. And no matter how difficult circumstances may become, I can always rejoice in all things work together for good to them that know God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you know, we have examples of this in the Scriptures where people weren't necessarily happy, but they bowed to the God of glory and rejoiced in Him. You know, the Lord speaks to Samuel. He said, "Tell Eli I'm going to kill both of his boys." Pretty severe. Samuel speaks to Eli, "God's going to kill both your boys." It's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth him good. Whatever he does is right. David is being cursed by Shimei, "You're a bloody man." Abishai says, "Let me go take his head off." He said, "No, the Lord said to Shimei, curse David." Somebody curse you this week? Somebody mistreat you this week? The Lord told him to do it. He caused him to do it. And it was for your good and his glory. Can you rejoice in that? This is the glorious Lord that we're called upon always to rejoice. And this thing of joy is unknown to the natural man. No natural man has this kind of joy, because this joy is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But this joy is the product of the new nature. No natural man knows anything about this joy. John chapter 15, verse 11, listen to these words. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." Now you think of the joy of Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's got the joy of knowing he has perfect obedience before the Father, and the Father's completely pleased with him. He's got the joy of knowing his will is always done. He's in absolute control. The reason control freaks are so miserable is because they don't have any control. But he has control, and he's got the joy of having complete control. And he says that my joy might be fulfilled in you. He said, "And now come I to thee that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now this joy of Christ is a spiritual joy that the natural man is a stranger to. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Very important scripture. Verse 17. "For the kingdom of God..." Now how much do we read in the scriptures about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? I know the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is mentioned almost 130 times. How many things in the New Testament are mentioned that many times? What were the Lord's first words? "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Believe the gospel." The gospel is about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the place where he rules, which is everywhere. The subjects of his kingdom are the people who love his rule. The folks who don't love his rule, they're not in the kingdom. The folks who love his rule, who love his kingship, who love his kingdom, they're in the kingdom. Oh, the kingdom of God. Now here, Paul is going to tell us what the kingdom of God is. And first he tells us what it's not. You know, the Bible starts that way a lot. It starts out with what it's not. And the reason the Bible starts out with what it's not is because we always think that's what it is. And we have to have that straightened out right off the bat. So look what he says in verse 17. "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not eat this and drink this and don't eat this and don't drink that. It's not made of that kind of thinking. That's not the kingdom of God. That's man-made religion. That's touch not, taste not, handle not. That's trying to figure out a way I can please God more if I do this and if I don't do that. The kingdom of God has nothing to do with that kind of thinking. That's the thinking of the natural man. That's all it is. It's fleshly. It's sinful. It's wrong. And the kingdom of God is not about that. Well, what is it about? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." A joy inspired by the Spirit of God, not just manufactured, but a joy inspired by God. Now, one of the most important words in the Bible, maybe the most important word other than Christ himself,
is righteousness. Now, why would I say that? Listen to this scripture. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, if you would ask the average person, what's revealed in the gospel concerning the character of God? First thing they say, well, it's His love. His love, His mercy, His grace. And indeed, the gospel does reveal His love, His mercy, and grace. But if that's the first thing you say, you don't even know what love, mercy, and grace is. The first thing the gospel reveals is the righteous character of God. How He can be righteous and yet righteously save somebody like me or you. How He can be just and justify the ungodly. How I'm saved by the righteousness of Christ. How Christ's righteousness, that perfect obedience of Christ, is my personal righteousness before God. Perfectly. The righteousness of God. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's my righteousness. You know what that gives me? Peace. A genuine peace. Everything God requires of me, I have, having the righteousness of Christ. If you give me one work to do, one thing I need to do to complete what He did, my peace is gone. I'm miserable. I'm listening to that message. I think, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I've just been fooled myself. Maybe, you know. When I hear preaching like that, I'm not hearing the gospel. I'm not hearing the gospel. Oh, the peace that comes from salvation being all of grace, complete in Christ. Peace. The peace of justification. The peace of knowing that I'm just before God. Not merely that I'm forgiven. I like being forgiven, but here's something I like even better. It's better being forgiven, being justified. Being justified, standing perfect and righteous before God. What peace there is there. And what happens next, after peace? Joy in the Holy Ghost. What joy there is. This is what the Scripture calls in Romans 15:13, the joy and the peace of believing. The joy and the peace of believing. Believing that Christ is all in salvation, I have joy and I have peace. The joy of knowing that Colossians 2:10 says, I'm complete. Right now, I'm complete. I don't need anything else. I'm complete in Him. I'm plumb full. I stand perfectly righteous. There's absolutely nothing. I'm not missing anything. I'm not missing any parts. There's nothing I've left out or didn't do. I am complete in Him. That gives me peace. That gives me joy. You take any part of that away, you say, well, you need to do this. I got no peace. I got no joy. But being complete in Christ, being accepted in the Beloved, there is peace and there is joy. I have joy and peace from hearing Him say, it is finished. And you know, I get joy and peace. We're talking to somebody about this. You know, when the Scripture says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Things in earth, things under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, that makes me joyful. Makes me at peace. Everything's going to be fine. Here's the way it's all going to end up. Every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some willingly, some unwillingly, but every knee is going to bow. And what joy that gives us, what peace that gives us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I think this will be helpful. Luke chapter 10. This is the 70 that the Lord sent out to preach the gospel. And we read in verse 17, and the 70 returned again
How? With joy. With joy. They had joy. And look what they said. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. You've given us such spiritual power that even demonic beings, devils, are subject to us. They've got to do what we say. We have this kind of spiritual power. Now, wouldn't you love to have spiritual power? Power in your life that makes you think that the Lord's blessing you? There's so many different ways you can take this. I'd love spiritual power in order to enable me to walk above sin and to enable me to always conduct myself the way I should. And that's a good thing to desire. I'm not saying it's not, but look how the Lord responds to what they said. Very interesting. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. You see, if you rejoice in your spiritual power, who are you rejoicing in? Yourself. We're so stupid we'd take glory in it. The Lord must be doing this for me because of something I've done. Some kind of something in me. And the Lord forbids them to rejoice in this. But what's he tell them to rejoice in? Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven in the Lamb's book of life. That's what you rejoice in. You rejoice in what I have done for you, not in what I have enabled you to do. There's only one thing to rejoice in the Lord, that your names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, when he's talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you know he's not talking about being persecuted because of your good deeds. He's talking about being persecuted because you maintain that the only righteousness there is the righteousness and merit of Jesus Christ. There is no other righteousness. All other righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags. Now, you maintain that? Somebody's not going to like you because you're taking away what they're hoping in. And they're going to say bad stuff about you. They're going to say they don't care anything about their life. They're immoral. That leads to all kinds of... You can imagine all the things people say from that. What's the Lord say to do? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. I think of Acts 5:42, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go, and they departed from the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wouldn't you find that a great honor? Something you don't deserve? To be allowed to suffer shame for his name, and to rejoice in it. Now, as long as God is God, as long as salvation is all in Christ, As long as Romans 8:28 is true, that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His hope, according to His purpose, we have reason for fullness of joy. We might not be happy, but we have reason for joy, don't we? And as a matter of fact, if happiness is my goal, I'll have no happiness. Let me show you that in Scripture. That's what we're going to close with. Acts chapter 20. Verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions are waiting on me. I know everywhere I go, I'm either going to get thrown in jail, I'm going to get beat with the cat of nine tails. I'm going to get stoned. I'm going to have people take rods and beat me up with them. Paul knew that was his end. But, verse 24, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Now you know the way you're going to finish your course with joy? By not counting your life dear to yourself. That I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There was a little man named Zacchaeus. Y'all know the story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. The Scripture says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now that is when salvation begins. When you want to know who Jesus Christ really is. Zacchaeus knew he didn't know him, and he wanted to. That's a blessing. He didn't know him, and he wanted to. So this little man ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a sycamore tree because he knew the Lord was to pass that way. And when that crowd passed through, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ stopped. And he was on his way to Jerusalem at that time. This was at the end when he was going to the cross. And he knew exactly what he was doing. But at that time, he stopped and he looked up in that tree. And I know he smiled. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today, I must abide in thy house. You know what the Scripture said Zacchaeus did? He made haste. If the Lord ever tells you to do something, you're going to do it quick. You're not going to wait. And he came down. You know, whenever the Lord speaks to you, you're always going to go down. You're going to go down. He came down. And the Scripture says, he received him joyfully. May the Lord Jesus Christ enable us to make haste, to come down in whatever our proud, arrogant thoughts are of ourselves. Come down. Come down. You can't see him unless you're down. And receive him joyfully. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Let's pray.